Today, folks, let me share something with you. As you will see me doing quite a bit of reading today, because I don't want there to be any mistakes in certainly where your pastor stands on matters that pertain to liberty, to the United States of America itself. As I read, I want you to allow your mind to go back to the days before you were born, to the days when the universe began, spoken into being by God Himself. God looked down on earth and knew that you and I would be here one day. He knew that the nation that He had allowed us to become, the United States of America, He knew that it would remain under attack continually, especially because that we lift the name of Jesus Christ above all other names. And yet today in our society, those who are acting Christians, professing publicly their Christian faith, are condemned, ridiculed, and pushed aside, mocked in many areas of life. I want you to remember the story that you know within your heart of the cross. Remember the one who hung on that cross and was mocked, was beaten, was tormented, and shown the greatest of disrespect. Therefore, I want each of us to count it all joy when we are mocked. Count it all joy when they laugh at us because we mention the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior of our heart. Listen to a story that I'm going to read to you, and listen to the truth. A few years ago, I wrote an article, and I knew within my heart that article was of God and from God. Today I will read that letter again. But because we broadcast, and because we're broadcasting in 130 countries now, I want everyone who is listening by our broadcast to understand it is the pastor of this church that makes these statements, our congregation. I assure you, are more than willing to stand also for their statements for Christ. But if you find discouragement within it, or anger bothers you because it has been made, look to the pastor, for it is through my heart that God gave me these words. First of all, Noah Webster was born October the 16th, 1758. He lived till April 28, 1843. He is the father of American scholarship. Listen to his statements. Please allow me to proclaim my loyalty to the Holy Scriptures and the precepts of God contained therein. The Bible must be considered as the great source of all the truth by which men are to be guided in government as well as in all social transactions. It is extremely important to our nation in a political as well as religious view that all possible authority and influence should be given to the Scriptures. For these furnish the best principles of civil liberty, the principles of all genuine liberty, and of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. That's freedom. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of this book, the Bible, may be accessory to all the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising and neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. The moral principles and precepts contained in the Holy Scriptures ought to form the basis of all our civil constitutions and laws. The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles, which enjoins humility, piety, and benevolence, which acknowledges in every person a brother or a sister and a citizen with equal rights. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. Ladies and gentlemen, please be American proud. Freedom. The definition of freedom found in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary is the condition of being free of restraints, the liberty of the person from slavery, repression, or incarceration, the possession of civil rights, immunity from the arbitrary exercise of authority, the capacity to exercise choice, the free will of mankind. What is democracy? It is a government by the people, especially rule of the majority. A government in which the supreme power is vested in the people and exercised by them directly or indirectly through a system of representation, usually involving periodically held free elections. What's God's answer? If my people, we the people. Listen to an excerpt from the Constitution of God, the Holy Bible, dated in the mind of God before time began. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Declaration of Independence, July the 4th, 1776. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America, September the 17th, 1787. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Abraham Lincoln, in his Gettysburg Address on November the 19th, 1863, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. What I have written, I take full responsibility for. It would be easy for us to place the blame for the problems of our country on the president, Congress, or any elected official, when in actuality, the real problem is with we the people. You see, we the people are the government of the United States of America. According to our U.S. Constitution, it is We the people who set about to form a more perfect union. We call this more perfect union democracy. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. In our democracy, we the people hire political representatives to watch after the day-to-day operations of any government function. As I look at our form of government, it is obvious that our elected officials are hirelings of we the people. One of the greatest problems with hirelings is that they don't hold near and dear their responsibility to protect what our founding fathers of democracy, we the people, hold dear. In this case, it is the Constitution of the United States of America and our Declaration of Independence. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 13, listen to Jesus' statement concerning the heart of the hirelings. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. Our Constitution and independence have been trampled under the feet of the hirelings, who are not the government of the United States of America, but mere hirelings of the government, we the people. When such a rebellion takes place, it is called a coup d'etat. As defined, a coup is the sudden, decisive exercise of force in politics to overthrow or cause an alteration of an existing government by a usually small group of persons in or previously in positions of authority. The question is, what do we the people, government of the United States of America, do to stop the completion of the hirelings' attempted coup? In order to stop the hirelings from overthrowing our freedom, we the people need only to look to the Constitution of God, which declared all men free. The answer is in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, he is talking to we the people. In that one verse, God gives us the answer to how to stop the attempted coup by the hirelings of we the people. Let's look at it this way. If my people, we the people, will humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our nation. The conclusion is, if my people, we the people, refuse to return to God's Constitution, then the government of we the people will be destroyed by corrupt hirelings who simply don't care about we the people. As one individual, I can do very little to change the course set by the attempted coup of corrupt hirelings. But together, we the people, God's if my people, have the answer to heal our land. Let freedom ring once again. Why would I write such an article to begin with? I'm reading from print so much today because I know how my words many times are taken out of context. So permit me once again. In the past few years, our nation noticed when a San Diego couple was ordered to stop holding Bible studies in their home without a permit. The order was rescinded after public outrage. In an unrelated story, a U.S. court in Pennsylvania ruled that the Bible could not be read during a show-and-tell time when a kindergartner brought what he described as his favorite book to class. Is it possible that a nation that has such a rich history of going to the Scriptures for guidance now is in the process of turning its back on the same? The first 10 amendments in the Constitution are commonly referred to as the Bill of Rights, ratified effective December the 15th, 1791. Amendment number one, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The first man to die for the freedom of all mankind was Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But why? Jesus came for total freedom. He came for my freedom and your freedom to worship him and to hold high the book called the Holy Bible that you and I accept as the Word of God, the breath of God, the voice of God for us. His only begotten Son came for our freedom of choice. I have the freedom, so do all the others within America. I have the freedom to choose Christ, or they have the freedom to reject Christ. I have the freedom to hold dear to me the Holy Bible, and it is my favorite book. And yet we don't allow our children to even mention it in school. Romans 5, 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 8, 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Galatians 5, 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Jesus taught us through his own actions that freedom is worth dying for. Freedom is worth standing for. Do we stand back and watch as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, is destroyed by a few hirelings who have no respect for man or God? Do we not, as Christians, have the holy boldness that it takes to stand strong and true? And if it takes away the freedom of standing in the courthouse square to proclaim the word of God, if that means that I lose my freedom and others lose their freedom for preaching the word and we're locked in the cells of the jails and prisons, then expect a revival. For the proclamation of the word of God shall continue, will continue, as long as the word of God remains in the heart of those called by God to preach and to teach his word. The freedom-loving people of the United States of America proudly proclaim throughout the world that America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. We have been prosperous and free as a godly nation since 1776. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, but in our generation, we have witnessed our great nation turning away from the God who declared us free to the God of self-indulgence. Will America ever be God's America again? Nations only become truly free when the leaders pledge allegiance to the God of freedom, as did Joshua. Joshua 24, the second part of verse 15. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We are a nation founded by and on the Word of God. They cannot erase that. They can lie about it, but you can't erase it. Isaiah 45, verse 18, "For this is what the Lord says." Now, see, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. When we hear, "This is what the Lord says," listen to what the Lord says. "For this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other." As a battle-scarred and storm-weary nation, each of us must put our trust in our only hope, Jesus Christ. He is the only anchor that holds in any type of storm. Hebrews 6, 19 through the first part of 20. "We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf." What's God's answer? The answer has been true ever since time began. "If my people," we the people, "if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their nation." We are America. We were brought together for a purpose, God's purpose. But when a nation pushes out the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we cry out, as the Jewish nation did, "Give us a king," then God will let us see what a king really looks like. As you and I watch our freedom eroding day after day, and the biggest push is on to stop the preaching of the truth of Jesus Christ. You see, I don't need another king. I have one. Would I ever serve a monarch? One day I shall. His name is Jesus Christ. He shall set up his throne on earth for a period, and it will be heavenly rule. But to Jesus and Jesus only will I bend the knee. For I've been set free by the blood of my Savior. It was red. And all of us seem to bleed red. So let the reminder of the blood within us be a part as we remind others that they too can have hope, but only in the founder of life itself, not in ruling bodies of political individuals. God said, "I set you free." You are free indeed. And it doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, not only do we lift one another to you today, we lift a nation that is battling within. Father, we watch as at different group after group wants to claim victory in their freedom to be homosexual, in their freedom to burn the flag, in their freedom to do all vileness. And yet they seem to forget that each warrior of the armed services fought different battles, different wars, so that they might have that freedom. But remind us, Father, as you've given the world the freedom to do such things, you've given us the power to stop them from destroying your nation. We ask now, Father, for that holy boldness, for the heart of Jesus for each of us. For, Father, without your power, your nation will truly crumble. Bring peace to our heart. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for remaining with us as you help us to turn around. We ask that blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.